This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, it's Sprague here. Really appreciate you listening. You're about to get some podcast excellence. It's presented by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
I'd like to say something.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
Back in 82. I used to be able to throw a pigskin a quarter mile.
Are you serious?
I'm dead serious.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
God, there was one week when you wore sweatpants every day.
Oh, you know what? If they were Sean John sweatpants, it would have been fine. But because they're Costco brand, it's like the worst thing I could do.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
Well, I'm rolling out.
Final hour, Dirt and Sprague. Thanks for being with us on a Wednesday right here on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan. We got Stat or Story coming up in about 12 minutes. Some more poll questions to get to the bottom of. Solving the world's biggest problems and toughest questions, like is water as wet? That is our goal for a Wednesday.
Well, it's turned into fire hot.
Yeah, then fire hot came out of nowhere, and then wood hard came out of nowhere, and now we're all confused. I don't know what the hell's going on anymore. But Will Darkins, who we work with, of course, is on the Center and the Saint. He is a philosophy minor, and for some reason, he thinks being a philosophy minor is going to help him solve this equation.
Yes.
So, Will, please.
He's also a football player, so are we sure he actually minored in it or somebody did the work for him?
Yeah, and he also thinks he can beat up a hippo. I'm just going to throw that out there before I get to
Hold on. No. Not beat up a hippo. Now, you got to be specific about this. I can beat up a hippo on land, not in water. In water, I'm done. On land, I'll rope-a-dope the thing.
No, you would get
you lose me there
by
too.
A hippopotamus.
I'll run it tired.
Your philosophy here is wrong, but please tell us how water is
wet. Floor is yours,
wet.
Will. What is your take on this?
So the question is fire hot, right? Or is water wet, right? That's the basic question.
It started as water's wet, somehow turned into as fire hot.
Fire cannot be hot ultimately because hot in itself is a subjective term. So whatever you consider hot may not be hot for others. It's a fallacy.
Okay. I don't know. Okay.
It's an absurdity.
I see what you're saying.
You've asked an absurdity. It can't be answered.
I don't know what we're doing today.
Here's the philosophy coming up. I was waiting for it.
I see what you're saying, but fire, like, if I lit a fire in my backyard, that's not a subjective opinion. It's hot to everybody.
Well, maybe it's not to some people. What if there's a guy from Hollywood who walks through fire for a living? That's not hot to him.
He's wearing a suit that's double layered, and he's not walking through it. He's running through it.
You don't know that. You don't know that. You don't know the fire game in Hollywood.
What is happening?
I don't know. We just...
Will, go sling some radio. Thank you for calling in, buddy.
Thanks, guys. Bye.
Long-time listener, first-time caller. Will Darkins here.
Will Darkins here. Played at Oregon State. We have somebody nominating Swag's fire take as the dumbest thing to ever be said on this radio station.
Next, there we go.
Next to Isaac's take on Tesla.
That's tough to beat. That is tough to beat.
There's a lot of dumb things that get said on this radio station.
Well, I was going to say, not only the station, like the show. He beat you and I. I would have never guessed that in a million years when this thing started. He would be labeled that.
The dumb comment guy.
And then you take it a step further and you go to the station. Wow.
Mind blown.
Game over.
Mind blown. Okay, can we move on? Can we move on from water as wet? Have we settled this issue? No, but can we move on? Yes. All right.
Yeah.
Stat or story coming up in 10 minutes. I hope there's one about water being wet in stat or story. let's get to some NFL news and notes, shall we? Because there's some pretty good stuff out there.
Somebody's listening to Darkins today is exactly why I don't trust people who don't drink alcohol.
I don't trust that guy, man. I don't trust that guy. How about this out of Baltimore? So Joe Flacco, they've been running some wildcat with Lamar Jackson at quarterback. That's one of their new formations they've been using. And Joe Flacco lines up on the outside. What?
I saw this quote.
This is great.
This is awesome.
So Joe Flacco was doing a press conference, and he starts talking about, you know, just kind of the whole wildcat idea. And he said this, "My wife gave me crap the other day. told me I need to look more interested out there. But I'm just going to try and stay out of it. I'm not comfortable out there. I don't need to get too creative. Talking about when he lines up his wide receiver.
They bring in Lamar.
The wife came to him and said, you know, hey, you're not really looking very interested as a wide receiver out there. You're not selling me that you're going out on a route or that you could get the football here. The wife criticizing his play as wide receiver. And he said, I'm okay.
Can I just, I love when wives comment on issues, whether it's work related or especially wives that maybe don't follow sports. I'm not saying she doesn't.
Did your wife ever comment on the show?
No, but we played a fun game last night. You want to know how sick and twisted I am NBA basketball?
Oh, God.
I played the fun game of how many NBA teams can you name? If I give you the city, do you know the name?
With her?
With her.
How many did she get?
She got, of the 30, I will say she landed 25 of them.
That's pretty impressive. Which were the five she didn't know?
San Antonio.
She didn't know the Spurs?
Indiana. Do you want to know the one she struggled with the most? And this one hurt because they've been on TV. Golden State.
What?
Yeah.
Rock is she living
under? When I said the Warriors, she goes, oh, I always think of Garden State because I see GS. And I'm like, really?
Huh?
They've been on TV for like 4 straight years, the most of any team. And that's...
What?
But yeah.
Okay.
It's fun to play that game. You should do this with your fiance.
I'll quiz her tonight.
You should do NFL teams.
Yeah. She's pretty good. She's like, like there'll be somebody that comes up to bat or somebody hits a shot or something like that. Oh, is that so-and-so? I'm like, yeah.
What sport would she be bad at? You should do it with that one.
Probably random Major League Baseball.
Really?
I think she knows decent amount of NBA. She watches football. Right. I think she knows football enough because we watch so much of it on the weekends. But like random Major League Baseball tidbits, she would have no clue about.
I do this. My little brother, I'll mess with him. He hates sports, doesn't follow anything in sports. I'll play this game with him all the time. And it's just the guesses you get from people that don't follow sports.
Right.
Comical.
All right, let's move on. Buffalo, they are off to an interesting start this year. LeSean McCoy is back. He played last week, although he still has that litigation hanging over his head. But there have been numerous reports that the Philadelphia Eagles, after the Jay Ajayi news that he has done for the year, tearing his ACL, that the Philadelphia Eagles have been calling Buffalo about reacquiring LeSean McCoy. And Sean McDermott, their head coach, the Bills head coach, said, LeSean is one of our best players. I thought he had a good game on Sunday. Really, we're just looking forward to playing the Houston Texans. We get calls all the time. Incoming calls happen. The GM and I talk a lot. I won't go into any more details than that. So he shoots down the rumors. But a lot of folks reporting it. WIVB reported yesterday that the Eagles are aggressively pursuing LeSean McCoy.
Yeah, our sister station WIP in Philly did a poll question on their website, and this was a resounding hell no. Do not bring him back.
Really? Because of the litigation going on?
No, they don't. I don't think diehard football guy cares about litigation.
That's a valid point, especially in Philly.
See Tyreek Hill in Kansas City.
Yeah.
I just think it's about fit and age and contribution. Is LeSean McCoy truly going to help them turn the corner back to what they were offensively? I think they're one of those fan bases, along with maybe who's another team? I'm blanking on name. But I think there are a couple teams in the Le'Veon Bell sweepstakes, and I think Philly's putting themselves in that as well. They want Le'Veon Bell. And financially, by the way, they restructured Fletcher Cox's contract.
I saw that. People are connecting dots.
Which is a huge move because that doesn't normally happen at this juncture of the season. So people think they're opening up enough cap space. Fletcher Cox restructures. Boom, you can go get Le'Veon Bell. They can't afford Le'Veon Bell this year if they trade for him.
One more note out of the National Football League. This one had both of us scratching our heads like, wait, what? So the Seahawks took Rashad Penny in the first round last year in the draft, and everybody didn't know how to feel about it. So a lot of people criticized the pick of why you're taking a running back, trading up to take a running back at that point in the draft. But Rashad Penny has been essentially a non-factor. He's been benched. They've had 3 straight games of 100 yards, and he has not been one of those guys. He's out of the rotation. And Rashad Penny has grown a little frustrated. And Pete Carroll talked to reporters yesterday. He said, quote, he's handling it, but he's frustrated. And that's exactly what I want. I want him to be frustrated. I want him to be anxious to get out there. I want him to be unsatisfied with what's going on right now. That's fine. I think that's the only way he should be. He's classy and he's for the team. And every time he would say anything, he would always talk about the team first. So he's got his priorities in line, and I expect him to keep battling.
Yeah. I mean, look, I don't think you can declare someone an absolute bust unless they are maybe Jamarcus Russell type.
And it's been 4 games.
Even in that point, 5 year games, one, whatever. You weren't ready to say that, but he is well below Chris Carson and Mike Davis, right? Like, hasn't that been established by Seattle that he is far below those guys? And right now, I think a lot of Seahawks fans are scratching their heads going, okay, maybe he figures it out. This is not a good look. You went up into the first round to get him. And he's third on the depth chart?
He's not good enough to play, especially with a roster that's flawed and has other needs.
They needed a running back to step up this year. They were begging him to be that guy, and he's third. Mike Davis is a seventh-round draft pick.
Yeah.
So it's not a good look so far early in his career. You do feel a little bad for the kid because you know that he understands the expectation. You want to be around in the league, but... yeah, I don't know how you put him in over what Davis and Carson have been doing.
Yeah, so there's some NFL news or notes. Peterson likes that Rashad Penny is frustrated, wants him to stay frustrated and be anxious about playing time. Joe Flacco got criticized by his wife for not being more serious when he lines up at a wide receiver. The Bills reportedly thinking about trading LeSean McCoy to the Eagles. Some notes around the NFL. Get back into some Pac-12 stuff coming up bottom of the hour. But it is time for your favorite segment's favorite segment. Stat or story next on The Fan.
Crunch the numbers.
There's 6,127 students at Adams, 58% of which are girls. So that's 7,107.32 boobs.
Break the news.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story.
Is it a stat or a story?
Evidence based on olfactory prowess is inadmissible, in case you didn't know.
This is Stat or Story, a monumental judgment call with Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
Come on, don't mess.
The Fan.
All right, stat or story time. Welcome back in 217. We got another Woj tweet on this Jimmy Butler thing I want to read coming up bottom of the hour. This Jimmy Butler story is just too good to be true, man. Too good to be true. Also, we have a poll question on that in regards to how it relates to our show, and we'll get to that coming up bottom of the hour as well. But what do we got today, Swigard?
Your first number is 12.
12.
Is it the number of wins the Ducks have over the Huskies in Autzen Stadium?
All time?
In the history of the series, but at Autzen Stadium.
A lot of years they're bad for Oregon versus
Washington. Is it the age you must not be over to legally trick-or-treat in Chesapeake, Virginia? Otherwise, you are subject to being cited for a misdemeanor punishable by a fine of up to $100 and 6 months in jail.
Wait, what?
You're going to give a 13-year-old a $100 fine for wanting a candy bar?
It's jail time.
Where is this at?
Chesapeake, Virginia.
Stupid Virginia.
I did a lot of pre-show research today.
How long has it been called Autzen Stadium would be my question. Because I know they've won like 45 games of this series. I'm guessing they didn't win a ton of Husky Stadium a long
time
ago.
This is from their official game notes.
Official game notes.
12 times in Autzen.
Well, they won 12 straight, so at least six of those were at Autzen, because that's every other year.
Well, they also had weird years where they played them back-to-back years at home. The Pac-10 used to do that. That was weird.
I mean, this might end up being a stat, but it's one of those, it feels like a trick question. I'm going to go with story.
Yeah, I was going to lean story as well.
They've won 15 times in Autzen Stadium in the course of the series. No. Right out of the city code, this is section 46-8 of the Chesapeake, Virginia Municipal Code. Trick-or-treat activities, subsection A. If any person over the age of 12 years shall engage in the activity commonly known as, air quotes, trick-or-treat, or any other activity similar or of nature under any name whatsoever, he or she shall be guilty of a misdemeanor, shall be punished by a fine of not less than $25, no more than $100, or by confinement in jail for not more than 6 months, or both.
Really trying to curb down
you middle
the
schoolers,
population.
Don't go. Don't take your...
Why do people have a problem with like 13-year-olds trick-or-treating?
I don't know.
I didn't know that was the cutoff age for
apparently
people.
In Chesapeake, Virginia, it's just for the little kids.
I'm trying to think
of
how long
13-year-old enough to buy your own damn candy bars.
We went out there with
I don't have any time for your begging and panhandling at my door.
We
go
went out
away.
There with real janky costumes at 13, but we went out a little bit just to get a couple candy bars. We didn't go out like for all night. And
yeah, I think high school was when I stopped. You're like, what, 14 your freshman year of high school?
You went in eighth grade.
I don't know.
There's subsection B as well.
I can't remember.
Trick or treat. There's a curfew.
Nah, I still have a high voice.
Trick or treat.
You can also not, you're also subject to the misdemeanor if you are trick-or-treating past 8 p.m.
Past
all
8
ages
p.m.?
Or just the 12?
All ages.
Dude, this town sucks,
yeah,
man.
Chesapeake,
any
Virginia,
person
like,
engaging in the activity as trick-or-treat or any other activity of a similar character or nature after 8 p.m. is guilty of a misdemeanor.
How do? You got to, like, check kids' IDs? Like, are cops going to, like, pull you over? Like, how is this working?
I don't know.
Is it, like, a citizen's arrest of somebody over the age of 12? It looks like they're 15 with some facial hair shows up at your house?
So, yeah,
you
they
place
really...
place them under house arrest?
They really love their Halloween there in Chesapeake, Virginia.
Wow. All right.
All righty. Next up, your number is 779. 779. Is it the current completion percentage for Saints quarterback Drew Brees, who leads the NFL this season? Or is it the amount of ethanol measured in parts per million found in native berries that birds are consuming in Gilbert, Minnesota, causing them to act drunk, fall out of trees, and fly out of control into cars and buildings?
Wow. I'm going to go stat here, Bob. I just read a tidbit on NFL passers being exceptional this year.
Okay.
Josh Allen is the lone sub 70% guy.
Josh Allen is the only one.
That was rating.
Yeah.
But he's at 60% completion percentage.
Okay. Okay.
I will go, this is a stat, though. Drew Brees at 77.
Yeah, I think he's up there. I think he had a number. Was it 80% he talked about wanting to hit recently? Like, he had one of those kind of numbers he's shooting for this year. I, too, will go with stat on this one.
Yep. 779 completion percentage after that Monday night dissecting of Washington. But more importantly, there's drunk birds all over Gilbert, Minnesota. The police department has had to issue warnings not to call them. It's just a time of year. Apparently, they had an early frost. And then as it thawed, the sugars in these native berries that the birds like to eat started fermenting, creating essentially alcohol. And there are 800 parts per million of ethanol in these berries. So the young birds that haven't had fully developed bird livers yet,
wow,
can't handle it. And they all drunk.
Can't handle their booze.
Can't handle the booze.
I remember my first berry.
We knew a guy in
that's awesome.
We knew a guy in high school that used to try to get his dog high. We always felt terrible for the dog because it clearly worked.
Now, apparently, I was reading a whole bunch of things because I was trying to find, it was a great story. I was like, I got to find a number to make this work. So in my research, apparently there is a bird drunk tank somewhere in Portland, like a rescue, like if birds start getting, they...
Wait, what?
How do you gauge if they're drunk? What do they do?
Flying into stuff?
You can tell from their flying, they're flying into buildings, they're, yeah.
Over there in the bushes, landing pigeon.
They're no longer like flying. They just are sitting on your rear view mirror or something.
So they said eventually that they will dry out and sober up, but it takes them a while. There's a bird drunk tank somewhere in Oregon.
That is the most Oregon thing of all time. Imagine just drunk birds flying into your car. What's happening right now?
Some lady said she's like hit like 7 of them just driving around town. They're just...
Man. That's why you don't drink and drive. Birds need to learn that lesson.
That's right. Don't drink and fly.
No drinking and flying. Your final number is 1.4 million. 1.4 million. Is it the base salary of Texans quarterback Deshaun Watson for the 2018 season? Or is it the value in dollars of a Banksy painting recently sold at auction that after the sale was confirmed began to self-destruct, running through a shredder that Banksy hid in the frame of the painting?
Saw this on Sunday.
Wait, what?
Yeah, he is a unknown artist, like in terms of nobody knows what he looks like.
I've never heard of this guy before.
He's a really famous underground artist that gets a lot of respect and attention, and mm-hmm. he made this. And somebody bought it at an auction, and as soon as it was official, it self-shredded half in the frame. There was a shredder, and it dropped, and half of it shred after $1.4 million was spent to buy it. This is a story.
Okay.
100%. Because Deshaun Watson was what? The fifth pick in the draft?
Back end top 10, I want to say.
You're making more than 1.4.
Okay,
his base salary, not the signing bonus.
Yeah, I'll still go, this is a story.
I'll trust you. Give me a story. Okay.
Deshaun Watson's base salary this year is $1,094,740.
Yeah, I would have thought it would have been two or three.
Well, you pulled a dirt there.
Well, but I knew the story.
Yeah.
So.
But yeah, this is from Huffington Post. $1.4 million on Friday, Sotheby's in London. And once it became final, the painting, yeah, started. It was the girl with the balloon. So there's a blue little girl in a dress, and then there's a red balloon that's up at the top portion. It started sliding down. The auction house is denying that it was in on the stunt. They're claiming they had no knowledge.
Yeah, this guy's got to get his money back, right?
Well, that's
there's insurance.
No, yeah.
Now the question
the
is:
other debate, do you keep it as is because it means more?
If you can frame it as it is now, where it's half, the value might have
it's
gone
an original
up.
Banksy. Oh, I see what you're saying.
So we'll see. We'll see what he does.
Banksy?
Bansky. B-A-N-K.
Banksy.
Banksy. B-A-N-K-S-Y.
Okay.
Don't listen to the incorrect guy over here. It's Banksy.
Yeah, because listeners are I'm all confused now. I've never heard of this guy before.
You should look him up. He's an interesting story. I heard about him.
Yeah, nobody knows his true identity.
Yeah, nobody knows him.
So he made this thing and it just self-destructs? Wow.
Imagine the person that, hey, 1.4 mil, sold. And then you look up.
Yeah.
Shh. Oh, no. It's shredded.
Would you ever reveal you were him if you were him?
No.
You would go to the grave not acknowledging it?
Think about this.
Not even on your deathbed? You say, hey, guess what?
No.
That was me.
Isn't that the coolest thing to do is to not do it?
Wouldn't you want some credit at some point?
If he wanted credit, he would have never gone this route.
Mm.
You're not in the credit business at this point. He made a painting that was worth $1.4 million. Nobody knows his name. Nobody.
Well, somebody's got to know it because how's he getting it to like the auction house? Somebody knows.
He drops this stuff. No, nobody knows
him. There are
him.
People. People know.
Well, they might know him. They don't know it's him.
Yeah.
Or he might have a small crew that's never going to out him.
What if somebody snitched on him?
You would admit it, wouldn't you?
Yeah, at some point I would.
But what's the point of doing it and then doing it later?
Because it's kind of a cool gig. And then when you're dead, you're like, hey, by the way, that was me, man. I made all that cool art. That was me. I did all that stuff.
Look at you. You need the credit even when you're dead.
I did. I am.
You're the guy that says this thing wouldn't effing work without me.
I am. I'm Ted Danson Anonymous. Okay. I don't need all the credit, but I want people to know I'm anonymous. I'm the anonymous guy. Come on now. A little credit here. Somebody said there's a documentary about him on HBO. And somebody, by the way, is saying that the painting has increased already to $2.4 million.
Yeah, I would imagine. Because
he didn't
shred the whole thing. It's halfway.
Yeah.
So if you can...
You should go look it up. You can see it.
Okay. I'll Google it during the commercial break. So he does... Oh, that's wild, man.
I'll tweet it out at 1080 The Fan.
$1.4 million for a piece of art. I don't know if I'd ever... I don't care how much money I have. I don't know if I could ever bring myself to spending that much money on a piece of art.
I disagree. I gave you $1 billion. What's $1.4 million for a piece of art?
I'd rather go buy a golf course, you know?
Well, one, that could be a losing venture.
Nah, it doesn't matter. I'll just play on it myself. It's a golf course for me, man.
It's in your backyard. You're Richie Rich.
Yeah.
Art is like a...
Art's a weird one for me. I don't get it.
Well, okay.
It's water's wet. I don't know. Is art? I don't know. It just looks like a picture.
I see what you're saying.
See what I'm saying?
But a lot of art, I mean, as that person points, you spent $1.4, you've already made $1 million on it. They've done nothing.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a terrible purchase.
In a lot of cases, like real estate.
So this is the balloon girl one?
Yeah.
Correct.
Wow.
I just tweeted it out at 1080thefan.com.
Who was in
and
on
And there's
it?
A little video there that shows where he hid the shredder in the frame.
In the frame.
Yeah, and there is a documentary people are pointing to called Exit Through the Gift Shop.
Oh, this guy's on Instagram?
Yes.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So he was there. Or is this somebody else's video?
Somebody else's video.
Okay, because I was going to say if he was there and that kind of... Oh, he's a white guy.
We think.
Well, yeah, I mean, he's putting this thing together.
We think.
Ah, I see what you did there.
Maybe those are painted hands.
All right, I'm watching this video now. This is cool. Tickle me intrigued. That's a good statter story. That was a thought-provoking statter story. Trick-or-treating age. Banksy.
And drunk birds.
Well done. Okay, let's get to another update on the Jimmy Butler story, because I can't get enough of this one today out of Timberwolves practice, and we got a couple of poll questions to bring to you, and we will do all of those next. It's a curious thing. Make a one man weep, make another man sing. Change your heart to a little white dove. More facts coming in about Banksy at the Better You Today text line 55305. Somebody said, heard it's a rumor that it's three or four artists who all work together that are our Banksy.
Okay.
Another one said he also had someone sell his paintings at a Saturday market, two of them for $60. He didn't let anyone know they were his. And a lady bought the two, and after they revealed they were his, sold them for $300,000.
I would have never sold them.
You would have held on to them?
If they're $300,000, they're going to get up to a mil plus.
You're telling me right now you wouldn't take $300,000? Pay off the house?
No.
Student loan's gone?
No.
Wow.
What if I know it's very easy to say that without the money.
Sure.
I get that part of it.
Sure.
But if
$60 investment for $300,000.
Totally get it. But what if I told you your $300,000 could potentially be $10 to $20 million 5 years from now?
That's the smart, prudent thing to do.
Would you sell it?
Hell yeah, I would.
Really?
I'm not smart and prudent. Another one, Dirt is the, where did this one go? Dirt would pay $1.4 million for a tasteful nude painting of Madison Bumgarner. I enjoyed that one. That's a good one.
Would it be Costanza-like?
Yeah, boxers, come on, cover it up a little bit, but laying out on the couch. And then somebody said,
Dirt's naked, chugging Bud Heavies. I'll take it.
Sold. Somebody said, Dirt's the type of guy who would make an anonymous donation to build a wing at a children's hospital and then proudly proclaim he helped build it. I mean, yeah, give me a little credit, right?
Well, it's not anonymous.
Just give me a little. Not everybody. My name doesn't have to be on the building. But you know,
what I found interesting by your comment was you're okay being secretive. You need the credit after you die.
Yeah, I want that thing to live on. That was me. Like, dude, we had
dead.
No clue the whole time.
You never got to enjoy any part of
if
what
there's
that
an
means.
Afterlife, I can enjoy the mind bleep that it would cause people to not realize that it was me the whole time.
To which some would say, if you're questioning there's an afterlife, it's not going to fare well for you.
That's very true. That was one of my favorite Curb Your Enthusiasm episodes, was when they were doing the, everybody donated their wings. Was it like a global warming kind of thing?
Mm-hmm.
And Larry David donated his. And it was like, wow, that's great, Larry. Thank you so much. But he put his name on it, said the Larry David wing. And then the other one was anonymous. And then Ted Danson was anonymous, but he told everybody about it. And Larry had a whole fit of like,
you're not really anonymous.
You can't be anonymous and tell people. And then everybody's like whispering, Jerry, he didn't want any credit. It's like, well, then why is he telling people? It doesn't make any sense. Okay, I want to get back into this Jimmy Butler thing quickly. That's been an awesome story today. If you've missed it or you're just getting in your car, turn it on your radio. Jimmy Butler has not shown up to Timberwolves practice until today. So this is the first one he's attended. And he showed up today. He verbally challenged his teammates at practice. He challenged the coaches, the front office. He targeted Thibodeau, Layden, Towns, and Wiggins. And at one point during the scrimmage, he turned over to and yelled at the GM, Scott Layden. He screamed at him, "You bleeping need me. You can't win without me." It left everybody there speechless. He dominated the gym. He then, during a scrimmage session of the practice, took the back end of the bench, all the guys who don't play or won't make the roster, and he paired a team up and went against the starters from Minnesota, and he beat them with all the third string guys. And Woj's latest tweet out of this is hilarious. He said, a lot of Minnesota players left the practice today energized by Butler's performance, mesmerized with him taking end of the bench players and running the table on the regulars. At the end, he marched out of it like a mic drop. He delivered a tour de force. The players got punked out of practice. Yeah. They got beat by him and a bunch of non-NBA guys. Mm-hmm. And their reaction was, that was pretty impressive.
The coach got punked out. The GM got punked out. I'm sure the owner's name was mentioned a couple times. Everybody got punked out by him today. This he warned them about this. Don't bring me in. I don't want to be a part of this anymore. They said, meh, we're not going to accept a trade. And so he's at a point now, as Bobby Marks pointed out, the new CBA basically does not allow you to just sit out. It doesn't allow you to do what Le'Veon Bell is doing.
Right, you can't just hold out all year.
So he has to report. He's going to show up. He's going to play. And I think there are two ways to look at this. You look at this of, ooh, I'm not trading for that guy. Locker room cancer, not getting along with two different teams now. Forget that. Or this dude is fired up, chip on the shoulder, ready for an FU tour this season. I think those are the two ways teams are going to view it, and I think they're going to have to decide where they at on it. Do you give up anything of value for a one-year rental and try to convince a guy to stay and hope that he plays angry? Or do you look at that and go, yeah, I'm good, hard pass.
Right.
I would be willing to put a lot of the chips that I have on the side of Portland fan, Portland media would say, hell no, hard pass. We like locker room guys. That matters to this city.
Yeah, we also like getting swept in the first round of the playoffs.
You know what? We make jokes about that, but guess what? They're going to be there opening night. They're going to be there all season. There's something true to what you're saying as well, which is the unfortunate part about our beautiful city. But they would be absolutely out on a guy like this. They have to have somebody nice that loves Portland, wants to be here, and gets along with everybody. They don't want to take that chance. And I think there's a lot of teams, to be fair, that also feel that way.
I mean, they have to trade him like immediately now, right? Like, this has to be his last start. Like, you can't allow this practice to go on, him to punk out everybody in the organization and then hold on to him.
Miami's given you the best package you could get, and you've said no three times. So if you're saying no to Miami and they're the best deal, who's stepping forward now?
Right. Yeah, Blazers with C.J. McCollum, they should, but that's neither here nor there. We asked a poll question at Thurton Sprague on Twitter today. We worded it. Jimmy Butler apparently yelled, "You bleeping need me. You can't win without me," to the Timberwolves GM at practice today. We asked the question, which one of us, and I shouldn't have included Swigart in this.
That
was my
big
mistake. But I said, which one of us is most likely to yell that to the other after the show? You bleeping need me. You can't win without me.
Well, I mean, the easy answer here is Swigart if you put him in there.
So 60% of people went with Jason Swigart.
Who's second?
Yeah, that's actually a little less than I thought.
You thought it was going to be higher than 60?
I thought that would have been in the
80s. Who's second?
You are.
What's the percentage?
22%.
Just edged you.
And then I'm at 18%.
Mm. Yeah, that sounds about right for this show. I think that's actually a little more passive,
you know? Whatever.
You're very passive.
You know, you'd probably be okay without me. But would it be the same? No, it wouldn't be the same.
The funny thing is, you'd probably be great without me, and I'd be like, you wouldn't be bleep without me.
You need me on that wall. I love that story. This is one of my favorite sports stories in a while. Him take like the yelling and stuff and emasculating his teammates.
It's
is one
more
thing.
The third stringers.
Like, taking like being that pissed. Like, this is a Michael Jordan move.
Yes, this is.
This is straight out of
this
Kobe.
Is
this
Jordan.
Is straight out of Michael. Like,
we're destroying
Wiggins.
Him for something that legends
right.
have done.
They do this and we love it. Nobody right. practiced harder than Jordan.
Right.
He went to the end of the bench and grabbed third stringers who won't make the team, and he beat Wiggins, Towns, Teague. Is Taj Gibson still on that roster?
Yeah.
Like, that's a good team.
That's not a bad unit.
And he punked them and he beat them in practice
with third stringers.
I love that, man.
You want him here, don't you?
I want him. That's I know, like, somebody is texting in saying he's a malcontent. I don't want him in the locker room. That's fine. I'm of the opinion, shake it up any way you can, because what do you got to lose? But I do. I think you're going to see as long as he can stay healthy, that's his big thing. He's got some injury concerns.
Well, I don't know if he's played 82 games. I don't think he has. I might be wrong
really
on that.
In his entire career?
I'll look it up. He's always kind of been a little meh with the injury. Give me a second here.
Somebody said I could see a ticked off intern yelling that. That would be funny if an intern ever just...
Intern Micah would have been the guy I would have picked.
Yeah.
He had some pent up...
He did, yeah.
...rage and hot takes. Yeah, he's played 82 games 1 year. And he only... No, actually, you know what? Okay, yeah, he played 82 games 1 year.
One time.
And that was in 2012, 2013, his second year in the league.
Okay.
Everything else has been 67, 65, 67, 76, and 59 last year.
Is somebody saying what happens if he loses? That's why it's such a baller move. Like, that's a risky thing. Like, you're trying to show them how good you are.
Yeah.
And you grab the third string. Like, you're doing it to make a point.
You literally can't afford to lose.
You can't afford to lose that game because your whole argument is, like, I'm better than anybody here, but you won't pay me and you pay these other guys money. I'm pissed about the way that's going down. And if you lose that game, you're ruining your entire argument.
See, and somebody's saying, why would he yell, "You need me, you can't win without me," when he's asking for a trade? He's making a strong case for not trading him. I think that's kind of the point, though, is... Without me, you're nothing, and you guys screwed this up.
Right. You
Get
gave
the
Wiggins
hell out
a
of
max
here.
Deal, and you don't want to pay
you
me.
You gave Wiggins
whatever.
A max yeah. deal. You told me, here's a slightly less deal, and then you announced Carl Anthony Towns, who I don't like, here's a max deal. I want out. And just to show you, this is what you're missing.
Right.
I think it's a big F you.
And Wiggins has done nothing but bitch since he got there because he's no longer a top two option. He doesn't like being a number three option.
Well, he hasn't bitched. His brother has.
That's true. But then that means he's voicing it to his brother.
Oh, for sure.
I did enjoy this text. Somebody said, Butler wants to win. That's why he's pissed. Who doesn't want that? Oh, that's right. The Blazers.
Here's the only thing I would say real quick. Yeah. I know we're against it. I do believe, and I know it's apples to oranges in terms of the history in the locker room as a teammate, but this specific example in practice, if we found out Dame did this, we would all love this.
Absolutely, we
like
would.
That's
the kind of attitude we love in a star. You need me. I'll take Zach Collins. I'll take Myers Leonard to beat your starting five. That's the kind of attitude you want in a star.
All right.
We're never going to, some people just won't agree on that one, but there's your Minnesota story for the day. That's a wild one. Woj has a story up on it on ESPN. Go check it out. It's worth the read. Okay, a couple of places to close out the show. Confidence levels in Mario Cristobal, Jonathan Smith. I got poll questions on those today. There is a stat about the state of Oregon that is disappointing but not surprising I'll bring to you. And then also a note on the Oregon offensive line, which is very impressive. We'll get to all those things next on The Fan.
Just because we love tonight, please don't.
Hey, Isaac and Sue coming up top of the hour. We got a big show tomorrow we'll tell you about here in a few moments. A couple of the quick poll questions to get to. We didn't necessarily dive into these topics today. I was just curious to gauge the fan bases and where people are at. We asked both on Oregon and Oregon State, where's your confidence level in Jonathan Smith and Mario Cristobal? I gave four different options. 10, I did basically a 1 out of 10 scale. 10, he's the guy. 7 through 9, 4 through 6, or 1 through 3. 38% of you gave Jonathan Smith a 4 through 6. Still a lot to prove. 37% said 7 through 9. You're very confident. 18% of you say he's the guy. Give him a 10. And then on Mario Cristobal, slightly similar. 44% gave him a 7 through 9. Very confident. 26% said 4 through 6. Still has a lot to prove. And then 22% said he's the dude. I'm giving him a 10.
So. Yeah. I got no problems with people voting 10 there and just saying, hey, yeah. I hope this is it.
Yeah, vague confidence in the coaches. So I was curious if people would come down on that. I saw this. You pointed this out to me from Darren Revelle. And this isn't necessarily a surprise, but slightly disappointing, I would say. We have now seen the list, at least to this point of the fall season, of the pumpkin spice latte sales by Starbucks. Breakdown by state. We're number one.
Yeah. Are you surprised by that? I'm not.
Hooray.
I would have pegged us as a top 10.
Washington's not even top 5.
Washington, yeah. The rest of the top 5 is Wisconsin, Ohio, Iowa, and North Dakota. North Dakota's a surprising one.
Us
for
in
me.
The Midwest.
Yeah.
How about that?
You would think more cold places. I don't know why, but that's just where my mind would go. But yeah, Oregon's number one. We've sold more pumpkin spice lattes here than any other place.
I got to be 1,000% honest. I've never had a pumpkin spice latte.
Never had one?
Nope. I know what pumpkin spice flavor is.
Yeah.
But I don't drink coffee.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, it's a really strong flavor. You got to really like pumpkin flavor. If you don't, it's
I like
intense.
Pumpkin flavor.
It's like a Halloween explosion
in
your mouth.
See, I'm not. I don't go. Like, if you have the various pies out there when it comes to, you know, the holiday season, everybody starts bringing pie for dessert. I'm not going to pumpkin first.
You don't dive into pumpkin, huh?
No.
Do you like pumpkin?
It's okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I will eat it if there's not something more appealing. Because I'm not a fruit pie person.
What pie do you eat then?
Pecan.
Oh.
Big pecan pie guy.
Pecan pie.
I hate pecan pie.
Yeah, the only pie that I really like is pumpkin pie.
Oh, yeah. See, yeah. I like all pies except pecan.
That's the only one.
Literally, it's the only one I just never liked.
Yeah,
give me a little chocolate cream or lemon meringue. Key lime pie. Love key lime pie. But like apple or cherry pie, I don't know. There's something about warm fruit that doesn't do it for me.
Costco has these pumpkin cheesecakes right now.
Yeah.
You all right there, Nerd?
I'm okay.
Yeah, Swag doesn't like warm fruit.
Yeah, sure.
Costco's got these pumpkin cheesecakes, and I had a bite.
Pretty good?
Wow.
Yeah.
If you like pumpkin, wow.
Somebody said, great, now every other state thinks we're a bunch of basic bees.
So is that just all the ladies buying it up?
Is that different from any other ranking that comes out in this state, for crying out loud?
No, yeah, we're usually at the top of lists like things like this. We just show up. Hey, you know, that's who we are.
Because I don't know any men that order pumpkin spice lattes.
I don't, no. The fiance's into them. She drinks them all the time.
My brother has a Starbucks gold card of some sort. He seems to be really happy about that. He's one of those, he drinks 3 times
Starbucks
a day.
Starbucks gold card?
He says it's some... I don't know. If you go there a certain amount of time and spend enough money, you get some card or something.
Sounds like a Ponzi scheme.
And he never orders them. Never gets pumpkin spice.
All right. Well, there you go. Pro Football Focus does rankings on all sorts of stuff in football.
That they do. That's kind of what their jobs are.
That's kind of what they are, right? Thought this was interesting. They did this, so they do like play-by-play breakdown, every game breakdown of everything in college football, and they ranked the best offensive lines in the country. Oregon came in at number 3, behind only Wisconsin and Georgia.
Hmm.
Alabama's number 4. Washington shows up at number 9. Washington State, number 10. So, stick that in your pipe and smoke it.
Well, it could change this weekend, or they could go up. Or they could go up.
Hey, tomorrow, Phil Steele's going to be on the show. 12:30. We couldn't talk to him yesterday. He had some stuff going on, so we moved it to tomorrow. We'll get a weekend preview from him. Also, Damon Heward. He is the color analyst of the Washington Huskies. I had him
on. He threw it to Kenny Wheaton.
He did. And I interviewed him when you were out at the end of the summer. He honked it up and got people fired up. You want a good little fired up interview,
all right.
Damon Heward's going to join the show tomorrow at 1 o'clock. We'll also have our NFL picks,
all right,
with the Pro Football Challenge. It's going to be a good one. Thanks for being a part of our Wednesday, everybody. We'll talk to you tomorrow at noon. Number One is next. You're listening to 1080 The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.